You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A sanction is basically economic way of punishing someone. It's like a fine. That's the best way to put it. Like, we're not going to do business with you unless you do this and that. It's the only way to effectively, you know, punish Israel for committing genocide. Right now, what the world is doing is basically using words. You know, we condemn this and don't do this and don't do that. You know, we want a ceasefire. We're just using words. Sanctions are effective. They worked against South Africa in the apartheid era. You know, sanctions are what the United Nations did when Russia invaded Ukraine. They put 11,000 sanctions on Russia within the first 2 months of the Ukraine invasion. As right now, 2023, it's over 16,000. You know, 33,000 Palestinians have been killed. Over 60% have been women and children. And not a single sanction in place against Israel.
Not a single one from any country.
From, like, the Western world. There are some certain countries like South Africa who's cut, you know, ties with them. Bolivia has cut ties with them. They went beyond sanction. They said, we want nothing to do with you while this is ongoing. But the fact that, you know, the supposed champions of human rights, you know, the Western world, you know, we're progressive, you know. The rest of the world is backwards. We're progressive. Yet not one single sanction. America, no sanction. New Zealand, no sanction. Australia, no sanction. You know, to me, it's a double-sided. It's hypocrisy, you know. You call out Russia, but you don't call out Israel. Why the, you know, discrepancy? You know, why the double standards?
So your petition is to sanction Israel. Do you have any ideas as to why New Zealand's government has not taken a step forward to this yet?
Yeah, I actually do. It's because they're waiting for the United Nations Security Council to draft up a resolution that includes sanction in it. The United Nations Security Council, you know, it has 15 members. And five of them are permanent members. And, you know, those are Russia, China, UK, and France. And so what happens if you want to place sanctions on a country, right? The United Nations Security Council, they have to make up a resolution. And then the UN, the five permanent members basically vote on that resolution. And if all five members, if there's no vetoes, then that resolution comes into place. So there's no, so to make a long story short, there's no resolution that says the word sanction in it, and there's never going to be one. That's because the United States of America is always going to use its veto power to protect Israel. Since 1945, you know, America has vetoed 45 resolutions. Since 1945, 45 resolutions the United States has vetoed that criticized Israel. So they're always going to sanction one, they're always going to veto one that includes sanction. You can't wait for a resolution because the United States is going to veto it. So what New Zealand must do is act as an independent state. We're a sovereign state. We got to use our initiative to place sanction first on them and say, you know, you can't just kill civilians en masse, create a man-made famine, which is, you know, the worst globally right now, and get away with it. You don't get away with stuff like that. But they are.
Carrying on from initiative, would you like to tell the listeners what your petition is about and for?
My petition is basically saying why New Zealand as a nation, you know, why we should place sanctions on them. I know that New Zealand is never ever going to put, you know, permanent sanctions on them. So what I did was I created conditions for the sanctions. Okay. So that if Israel doesn't uphold these conditions, then the sanctions will last. And those conditions are this. So the first is basically to open all available land crossings so humanitarian aid can enter. And this is in line with ICJ. All my conditions, right? They're not, they're in line with ICJ orders. You know, this is what they should be doing, but they're not. So the first is to open all available land crossings. Right now, there's only two open. Israel said that they would open the third one, the Erez crossing, but they still haven't opened it. The second is to guarantee safety of all, you know, aid seekers and aid workers and, you know, civilians. As, you know, I'm sure you heard about the incident about the killing of the World's Central Kitchen workers. I mean, that's just a needle in the haystack. 196 UN Palestinian workers were killed. 500, you know, aid workers have been killed. So, but it's only the one, you know, where the international aid seekers, you know, that's the one that got attention. So if people want to support Palestine, and, you know, what can they do? And it's pretty simple. First is to learn about the, you know, BDS movement, learn about what products to boycott. And an extension of that is a website called www.disoccupied.com. Now, this website, you basically insert a product in. Let's say you're going to count down your shopping, right? You just write down, if you want to know if this product supports, you know, genocide or whatnot, you just write down the product name on that website, and it tells you, you know, either buy this or don't buy this, and it gives you a reason why not to buy it, and it also gives you alternatives to buy.
That's really interesting. So that was Disoccupied?
www.disoccupied.com.
Great. We're just coming up to the end of our interview. Are there any last words you'd like to say?
Yeah. If you know, what is the world waiting for? You know, what is going to be the crime that Israel commits that ultimately does the trick? Because if you say it, chances are they've already done it. So where is the red line? You know, what are you waiting for? The worst of the worst has already happened. So you can't wait until it's too late, because then the Palestinians are not going to need your help.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.